General Meeting, Columbus, Kentucky, September 1973. Address from Brother Lundeen.
Now we sing together hymn number 331. Father, thy sovereign love is sought, captive to sin gone far from thee. The work that thine own Son has brought us back, peace and free. Some brother raise the tune.
Father,
turn with me, first of all, to Acts, the 7th chapter. We'll read from the first verse of the 7th chapter of Acts. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he, Stephen, said, "Men and brethren, the fathers hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelled in Charan. He said unto him, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell." Now if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram." Go on. I would like to speak this afternoon about the 7 appearings of God to Abraham. Now, I'm sure that everyone in this room knows something about Abraham. We've all read about Abraham. In fact, he is spoken of as the father of faith. In the book of Hebrews, there are 2 characters that stand out predominantly among those men of faith and women of faith. One is Abraham, who speaks of his life, the patience of faith. The patience of faith. Moses speaks in his history of, in figure to us, of the energy of faith. Now we need both of these, and especially these dear young people this afternoon. We need the patience of faith, and we need the energy of faith. So, now we find that Abraham was an idolater. You can read more about it in the book of Joshua, because there we learn that the father served idols on the other side of Jordan. And so he was an idolater, and he lived in the land of Ham. That is, Ham was the principal people, and they were all idolaters. They were not of the family of faith, the family of Shem. Abraham was, but he was not one of faith as yet. But he got a call from God. And it says in the book of Acts that the God of glory appeared to him. Now I wonder this afternoon, dear young people, if the God of glory has appeared to you. And I believe we can, each one, discover in our own lives something kindred to these appearings to Abraham. Has the God of glory appeared to you? Have you had an invitation into those blessings of which we've been singing that have to do with the glory? What a marvelous thing this is, the God of glory. He's also spoken of as the Father of glory, which really is a richer expression that we have in Ephesians, because that brings in relationship, doesn't it? But here he's spoken of as the God of glory. And he appeared unto Abraham when he was in idolatry. Now this gives us a little picture of how God appears to us. No one could ever say that they sought out God, because we're told that man by searching cannot find God. No, God finds us. Isn't that wonderful? And this makes us think of something, and that is that God wouldn't find us if he didn't want us. Dear young people, you know God wants you. Has the God of glory appeared to you? We're living in the day of popular movements, especially among young people. But I wonder, in all of these popular movements, if those who are occupied with these things have found that they were the call of God. That is, as the result of the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, unless it's according to the Word of God, it's not of God. If they speak not according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. No light, not one bit, not one ray, not one candle of light. If they speak not according to this Word, the Word of God, it's because there is no light in them. It isn't God's thoughts mixed with yours, because there's not one thought, dear young people, that ever came out of your mind unless it was formed by Scripture in connection with moral issues, but what it was evil. Not one thought. You and I are bankrupt outside of Christ. And unless you have Christ as your Savior, unless you have had the call of the God of glory, you're bankrupt for all eternity. God is calling you today. If you're unsaved this afternoon, remember, you have an invitation right now to receive Christ as your Savior. And the redemption is through his precious blood shed in death at Calvary's cross. Have you received him as your Savior? The God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Now there's something particular noticeable here. He dwelled in a land and in a place where everything was conducive to ease and pleasure. So are you this afternoon. You're living in a land that's the richest, I suppose, in the world, and full of everything that the heart could desire. And we find that Abraham was surrounded then by those luscious fruits of the desert, grew all by themselves without care. Probably didn't even have to cultivate to grow grain. At the mouth of that great river Euphrates, where the river spread the soil out to the delta, it was easy to grow crops. And everything was conducive then to what man liked in the flesh. And it was just at that time that God called Abram out of all this. And what was the call? To go to the land, a land that I will show you. I will show you. Now, what was this? He had to believe God or he wouldn't go, didn't he? You'll have to believe God this afternoon or you won't go. But remember, what you're going to miss if you don't go. Because everything here comes to an end. Are you going to be swept away by the present illusions, whether it be the natural resources around you or the evil teaching that's everywhere? Are you going to be swept off your feet by these things? Are you going to go by the Word of God? That's the beginning of everything for blessing. Faith. Remember, it's not faith unless it's according to the Word. Never. People speak of blind faith. There's no such thing. Faith always has something to rest on. It's the Word of God. Now something else we notice. That he went up to Haran. He still hadn't left the land. Because he was 75 years old when he finally left the land. And he dwelt a long time in Haran, called Charan in the New Testament, the Greek. The land of Haran, it means death. Oh, dear young people, how long are you and how long am I going to tarry in the place of death? We've got the call. Are we going to stay in the place of death? God says, unto a land that I will show you. Are you reading your Bible? Are you? Are you putting out that extra energy in the morning to read the scriptures? My brother was speaking about time last night. How about time? I suppose that tomorrow you'll have 24 hours unless the Lord comes or you're taken away. And you'll have 8 hours for, if you were at your occupation, for work or school, 8 hours for sleep. Now what about the other 8? Does God get any of this? You know, it seems awfully strange to me, beloved, and I speak to parents this afternoon too, that the devil gets your children for 40 hours a week. And when prayer meeting time comes, some parents say to their child, well, you're tired, stay home and do your lessons tonight. You don't have to go to meetings. Oh, dear friends, this afternoon, what about eternal things? What about eternal things? Are you going to give your child that 1 hour a week of eternal things or not? Solemn, isn't it? Yes. Well, God didn't appear to him again until he left Haran and went into the land. Then he appeared again. And if you're just marking time this afternoon, dear young people, remember this, that God has nothing more to say to you until you act on the truth that you know. Be sure of this. And don't pass up anything. Abram passed up Sychem. You know what Sychem is? Well, it's the place later that God gave to, that Abram gave to his son Joseph. One portion have I given thee above thy brethren. It speaks really of the church. It's Sychar's well. Now, I know these are types, but I just leave this word. Don't pass up anything. The Jew missed the heavenly calling because he passed it up, didn't he? What are you missing? Are you missing something? Are you passing up something? Sychem. Study it out and you'll find out. Sychar's well that that woman received. That well of springing up into everlasting life, a picture of the church. I won't dwell on it. But now we've come to the sixth verse, seventh verse, and we find the second appearing of God to Abram. Now notice what he says when he appears the second time. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now you see he's growing. The first time he said, you go to a land that I'm going to show you. But now he says, I'm going to give it to your seed. Isn't that an advance? No, we don't learn it all at once, do we? Oh, how good this is that God is going to give the blessing to our children. Yeah, he's in the land now. He's gotten out of that place where he has all of those temptations. And we're told to flee them in the book of Timothy. Flee youthful lusts. Get in the place where you won't be under them all the time. Flee them, dear young people. It means to get as far away from them as you can. Now he says, I'm going to give this land to your children. Isn't that lovely? Supposing Abram had stayed down there with the beautiful dates and the figs and the olives and all that luscious country that he was given to enjoy as a child. Supposing he'd stayed there, would he have been the father of faith? Would his children have had this blessing? Oh, dear parents, are you inheriting the place of death? Or how are you moving across that desert? Because he had to cross the desert to get to the land that God was going to show him. And when he got there, God says, I'm going to give it to your children. How about it, parents? You want your children blessed? Do you? We have some young parents here this afternoon. Just starting out in life, you want your children blessed? Then get out of that place of death. Get over to the land. Start feeding on that good land that God has provided for faith. Now we notice in this connection that he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Then he went on and unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Now where is it? Bethel is the house of God and Hai is heaps and ruins. That's where the believer is today. He has the house of God on one side and he has the heaps and ruins on the other side. One to give us the character of all that's around us and the other to give us our resources. So that we're able to rise above all that which is of this world. The house of God, the place of all the promises. Remember Bethel in the 28th chapter of Genesis, is the place where all the promises were made later. But the heaps and ruins about us, we need something to fortify us from these heaps and ruins. And that's the house of God. The place where all the blessings are found. Well, we won't tarry here, but you remember he goes down into Egypt. And he doesn't have God appear to him as long as he's in Egypt. God had told him, you go to the land. He didn't say, go down to Egypt. Why did he go to Egypt? Famine. And you know, there's more famine in these hearts than there is literally. Because it says in the Psalms, in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You think God is able to keep you? You think God is able to keep Abraham in the land that he took him to? Oh, he might have tested him with a famine, but he didn't need to go to Egypt. You know what he got out of Egypt? Some money to bury his wife with. That's what he got out of Egypt. You may not even get that much if you go to Egypt. Egypt is the world in dependence of God. And beside that, he got trouble in his house because Lot got a sight of Egypt. And the next thing we see is Lot, herdmen are striving with the herdmen of Abraham between their flocks. Yes, if something had gotten into the blood of, as we say, of Lot, and he now was no longer satisfied in the company of Abraham, his uncle. Who was responsible? Who led Lot down into Egypt? Wasn't it Abraham? Is that why Abraham was in intercession with God at the night that Sodom was being destroyed? All night long Abraham prayed before God, and God heard his prayer. Oh, he was in earnest then. How about being in earnest before it happened? Yes, before all this damage is done. But in this next chapter, then, we notice that God appears to him again. And it says in the 14th verse, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I show it. Oh, no. Oh, no, this is a new experience now. It's no longer, I'm going to show you the land, or I'm going to give it to your children. He said, you just look in every direction, and I'm going to give the whole thing to you, Abraham. I'm going to give the whole thing to you. Now, what was this the result of? Why, he had said to Lot, he said, Lot, you just take whatever you want, and I'll back away and take the rest. And you know what Lot chose? He didn't choose any of that good land at all. He looked down and he saw down in those plains, they looked just like it was in Egypt. The land that he had seen, and he went after the sight of his eyes. And he chose those well-watered plains, which proved the destruction of his whole family. And you know, the life of Abraham is a marvelous story for faith. But you know, we might do well to just draw the curtain on most of Lot's life. Oh, dear one, this afternoon, how about your life? Will it be something of blessing that you leave behind you, or something that should never be told again? Well, Lot made his faithful choice. He got out of the stove by fire, but that was all. He left it all behind. That's so loose. He left all. Period. All. For his lifespan in this world. And beloved, dear young people, you have your life ahead of you. Are you going to leave it all behind, or are you going to take something with you? What did Abraham take out of the place of death? He took souls. That's what it says here. We just read it. He took souls with him. Are you taking souls with you? Oh, you say, I can't preach the gospel. Well, perhaps it would be better if you didn't. You can't. But how about that every day at the office? Just letting your light shine. And how much better it'd be if you and I asked the Lord to give us grace for the day rather than to give us opportunity. Because the day is teeming with opportunities. But very little grace to meet them. Isn't it so? Well, we find then that Lot was a source of trouble and Abraham has to go and rescue him. In the next chapter. And just before the Lord appears to Abram the next time, after Abram has rescued Lot from those kings that have taken his goods, taken him captive, well then Melchizedek comes and he intercepts Abraham just before he takes anything from the king of Sodom. And he comes with bread and wine. Melchizedek. Bread and wine. You know what that speaks of, don't you? I know these are types. But oh, how good it is to have the death of Christ brought into everything that the believer has to do with. Because that's the source of all our blessings. And you know, Abraham was just about to take some of those goods of Lot. Of the king of Sodom. The spoils of the battle. He was just about to take some. But Melchizedek came in before he did. And you know, this tells us, dear fellow believer, dear young people, that God is always just ahead of us. He's always guarding us. And if you and I keep our eyes and our ears open, we'll find that God has already made our way for us. He has. We don't need to make any mistakes. And you know, after Melchizedek had said here in this 14th chapter, 19th verse, and he blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all, as Abraham gave him tithes. Now Abraham learns something. He learns that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. What does he need? With the king of Sodom's gift. And what do you and I need with what the world has to give us? And so when the king of Sodom finally came, Abram said, "No, I can't use a thread or a shoelace to that." Why? Well, he said, in the 22nd verse, "I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich." Well, this would be sad if the world has made the Christian rich, isn't it? And that's one of the dangers today. You know, Isaac had quite a time when he was among the Philistines, because they envied him. God was prospering him. And he had to get way out of their borders into the land that God wanted him to be in before God made his enemies to be at peace with him. And you know, you and I, dear young people, should never put ourselves in a position or allow ourselves to be in a position where the world envies us. Remember that. It'll only bring us trouble. The world envies. But now God appears to him in the 15th chapter again. This is the fourth time he appears. I suppose that Abram was thinking along these lines. Here is a great big army, and I've taken my servants, and I have come upon them at night, and I've scattered their whole army. But they're coming back, and they're far too superior for me to meet with. I'm going to be in trouble. But you know, God sets aside all these fears, and he comes to Abram in his 15th chapter, and he says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram." Notice that word of the Lord. "In a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Two things. He's the shield so that the enemy will never touch him, and he's the reward because he didn't take anything from the king of Sodom. What kind of reward do you want? What kind of protection do you want? Oh, this is lovely. This is where our souls can bask in the sunlight of his love. "I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." It isn't simply that he'll give a reward. He is that. He's a lot of things to us. He's righteousness, sanctification, and everything else. He's our peace. He's our reward. Now Abram has this hurdle passed, so he's going to ask the Lord about something. Abram's getting along in years now, and you know God has promised that of his seed, every family in the earth would be blessed, hasn't he? And Abram's getting a little bit concerned about this because he has no children. How can this be? And so he ventures to ask God about it. And so it was on a starry night as we see in this chapter. The heavens were spread abroad. I suppose it was a dark night. The stars were shining brightly, because there were many stars to be seen, no doubt. And Abraham proposes this question about the blessing. And God says to him, fourth verse, notice again the word of the Lord. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, notice that word abroad. He brought him forth abroad. That is, the believer's in a large place, you know. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Which way are you looking this afternoon, dear young people? I dare say most of us, the tendency is to look around us, isn't it? But God says this afternoon for you and me, look now toward heaven. Anything that isn't heavenly is vanity and a snare for the believer. You believe that? Everything that isn't of a heavenly character is vanity and a snare for the believer. I'm not talking about mathematics. I'm talking about spiritual things and moral issues. Well, you say that's a sweeping statement, but think it over. And if the word doesn't reach the conscience, it doesn't do you much good, does it? Or me, either one. Yes, it's a snare and it's vanity. Look now towards heaven and tell the stars. And if thou be able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now what does Abraham do? And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Well, that's the fourth time he appeared to him. So now we'll go on. We find that Abram takes things in his own hands, and it doesn't work out very well. Because there was no trouble in his house until after Ishmael was born, and then Isaac was born. Then there was trouble when Isaac was born, because the flesh and the spirit don't get along together. And Ishmael is a picture of the flesh and the energy of the flesh, whereas Isaac is a picture of the heavenly man, the one that's guided by the Spirit. And as soon as Isaac was born in this household, there was trouble. But in our portion yet, Isaac has not been born. And so in the 17th chapter, we find that Abram was 90 years old and dying. That's getting along in years, isn't it? 99 years old. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or mature. Mature. There's no perfection in the sense we use the word this side of the glory. But there is a maturity to be desired by the believer. Walk before me. Oh, how good this was. First, he was the God of the possessor of heaven and earth. And he was his shield and his exceeding great reward. But now he says, you walk before me. I'm Almighty God, you walk before me, and then you'll be mature in your soul. Isn't that lovely? Supposing he had said this when he was in Haran, he wouldn't have understood what he was talking about, would he? You see how these steps of faith link one with the other? And all was upward. as it says in the book of Proverbs, more and more, shining more and more unto that perfect day? Are you making advance in your soul, dear young people? How far have you gotten in this path of faith? Just how far have you gotten? How far have I gotten in this path of faith? Have we come to the place where there is the entering into the precious, the deeper things of Christ, those that have to do with His nature and His spirit? Those are the deep things of God, as we have in Corinthians, His nature, His spirit. And so we find that God talks with him, says in the third verse. And we find he makes a covenant of circumcision with him. But now we find in this 18th chapter, the sixth time that he appears to him. And in this chapter it says, in the first verse, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, where are the plains of Mamre? Well, Abram's has made progress. Sometime when you have the time, look on your map, and you'll see a stream or river, if you like to call it. It's called Besor. It means glad tidings. And it goes into the Mediterranean Sea. But the headwaters are at Hebron, or Mamre. Mamre is a plain around Hebron. Mamre means fatness. Hebron means communion. I don't say that's all it means, but it does mean that. Now, Abram started down by the Mediterranean somewhere, and he made his way up by Eshcol. That's where those wonderful grapes were found. You remember Eshcol's grapes? He makes his way up that stream. So did Jacob, and so did Isaac. Later, it speaks of the path of faith. And there were many tributaries that he could have taken. He could have gone off to the land of Philistines in a dead end for him. He could have gone down to the south, the pleasant land. Or he could have gone to the Valley of Salt, the discipline of God. There's many tributaries he could have sidetracked down. But Abram made his way right up through that stream until he got to the headwaters. And here he is at Mamre, to the very source of the blessing. Isn't that lovely? Are you making progress, dear young people, your souls? Are you growing? Oh, you say, I'm getting along pretty well at school. I say, are you growing in your soul? Pretty soon, school will be over. This life will be over. Are you laying up in store for time to come? So Abram, it says, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found great favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. Isn't that lovely? What would happen if the Lord Jesus came to your house this afternoon? You ever thought about it? Well, he's going to come some afternoon, isn't he? Yes, he's coming. Any moment now, what will he find in your house and mine?
You know what Scripture says. It says, what hast thou in the house? Does that have a voice to me this afternoon, or you?
What have they seen in thy house? Isn't that what Scripture says?
What does God see in your house this afternoon?
Jacob's house was full of idols when God said, up, Jacob, rise and go to Bethel. You know what Jacob did?
He said to his family, you put away those gods. We can't take them to Bethel. We can't take them to Bethel.
And you know what the time you start gathering gods is when you're young. You know what I mean.
Anything that replaces Christ is an idol. Anything that takes its place in our lives is an idol.
And what does Abraham have? Well, everything that the Lord just delighted in. And where did he entertain him? Under the tree. What's that? With the cross of Christ.
The cross of Christ.
Yes, he said, set everything before him. Fatted calf, butter, everything his heart delighted in. Is that what you have to offer to the blessed Savior if he came to your house this afternoon? Or would your house be something like Lot's, where the angels would rather have stayed in the street all night? That wicked city was better to them than to have gone and compromised and gone into the house of Lot. And there was only one indication in the house of Lot that he was a righteous man, and that was the unleavened bread they found there. That's the only thing. We have to go to the New Testament to be told that he was a righteous man, but not Abram. Because Abram could say in this last verse we read, why, this is the reason you came to my house to be entertained.
Oh, dear fellow Christians. Is this so with you and dear young people? So that you expect the Lord to come to your house to be entertained?
He does. He does. He just delights to be with his own.
Have you given him 10 minutes, 15 minutes? I know a young man who...
To set aside, you may think this is a very small amount of time, but in his busy college life, he set aside 30 minutes
to spend reading the Scripture. And they that honor me, I will honor. And he went through college with all the honors, too. All the honors.
Yes.
We never miss by putting the Lord first in our lives, never. And Abram had everything for the Lord, just what he delighted in.
And Abram, God had something for him, too. He says, Abram, you're going to have your desire fulfilled.
And that's life and resurrection. He was given a child when there was absolutely no human accounting for it. He and Sarah were past age. There was no human accounting for this blessing. It was all according to God's gift. The blessing of Abraham, as we speak of it.
It was life. It was resurrection life. That's what he gets.
The blessing and resurrection life.
Well, we won't read any more. We haven't the time. But in this chapter, we find him, as we've already mentioned, interceding to God for Lot. Poor Lot. Poor Lot. He had children, you know. But he left them behind in Sodom.
Except two daughters that shamed him. That's all he had. Which were a snare to Israel all their days. Moab and Ammon, and they still will be a snare to Israel. They're a snare to Israel today. The Jordan, that's Ammon.
Oh, this is solemn, isn't it? How about following the path of Abram? And now in the 22nd chapter, you know the story better than I do, perhaps, what we have here. That's the last appearing. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, he'd been given the name Abraham, father of many nations, in a previous chapter. Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now in this passage, God is asking Abraham to do something that is just the hardest thing, I suppose, that anyone could do. And that was to offer up his son. But it was especially hard because this son had been made the depositary of all the promises and counsels of God. That's what made it hard. But Abraham believed God. You know, Abraham had been in the habit of obeying God. And you know, it isn't near as hard when you come to a crisis in your life if you've been in the habit of obeying God as it is if you've been in the habit of disobeying God. And so we find that he went up that mountain with Isaac. And it says the two went together. And oh, what a lovely picture of the Father and the Son. But we have a substitute there. The ram caught in the thicket. It wasn't so with Jesus. No, he paid the whole debt himself. But I want to couple this with another chapter, because this is the last appearing. But in a later chapter, in closing, I'd just like to bring this in. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. She also got a new name, Princess. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, or Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, beloved, it was hard for Abraham to offer up his son. But even there, he was doing something that God had commanded him. But now, there's something that makes Abraham weep. This is the first time, the only time we have recorded that Abraham wept. Why? Well, because God was taking away from him a companion that had been with him in all the decisions he'd made in the path of things. Why does God do things like this? Because there isn't one thing in this world that God is going to allow us to come before himself. The blessing he has for us is too great, beloved. Too great. And he's going to take away the most precious thing that we have so we can have something more precious. And that's why we sing sometimes, Have I an object, Lord, below, that would divide my heart with thee. Now these are types and pictures, you know. And it's harder, isn't it, for God to take away something that precious, then even for Abram to offer up his son. He never wept then, but when Sarah died, he wept. Shall we sing that little hymn 46? Brother raised the tune for us. Thank you.
46, number 46.
Thank you.